called Gerar. And Abimelech, while he is not a descendant of Abraham, Abimelech is a God-fearing king. Abimelech knows the Lord, and the Lord deals with him directly. And we see Abraham comes to Gerar, and Abraham lies to Abimelech. Sarah, my 90-year-old wife, it's my sister. She's not my wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech is impressed. And so he takes Sarah into his harem, but he doesn't come nearer to her. And then God comes to him and enlightening Abimelech about the situation that he did not know, God says to Abimelech, hey man, you're going to die because you're about to fall into sin, and I'm going to kill you for it. That's Abraham's wife. And Abimelech said, I didn't even know. There was no way for me to know. He lied to me, she lied to me. And God says, I know you didn't know, but it's still sin. You take another man's wife and it's still sin. God says, what's even more than that? I'll tell you what the situation is, but because I knew the intentions of your heart, because Abimelech, I knew that you would not want to sin against me, I protected you. God protected Abimelech and God taught Abimelech in a situation that Abimelech had no idea. He would have been completely unable to even understand his own sin. God stepped in and protected him and taught him and then said, hey, give her back or you are going to die. We saw last week, listen, that as we walk through life, do you know what? Here's the truth of the matter, that we don't have within us, we do not have the ability even to recognize whether we're making a mistake or not. We don't have the ability to reason out the right thing to do, but we have a God who is willing to teach. We have a God who has not necessarily speaks to us audibly, but who has given us His Word and who is willing to instruct and to guide. And He will teach us if we will listen. And if we are teachable, He will teach us and instruct us. Was there any excuse for Abimelech to sin against the Lord with Sarah? Was there any excuse for that? No, there was not. There was no excuse for sin in Abimelech's life. God had taught him. Ignorance is no excuse. Now, so God, we see God dealing in the lives of these two men, and we have now seen God deal with Abimelech in terms of sin, and God instructing him and protecting him, and the consequences of sin and taking away all of his excuses for sin. And God deals with that. And now God is going to turn and we're going to watch God's hand in Abraham's life. Remember, these men, the Holy Spirit preserves the work of God's hand in their lives because Abraham in particular is part of God's broader plan, and we need to be able to see what God was doing all the way through the Old Testament leading up to Christ. But as we watch God dealing with these men, the point is that we are to be able to recognize God's dealing with us. And how God dealt with His servant Abraham is the same way that He deals with His servant Chad Brady. And what God wanted in Abraham's life is what God wants in Chad's life. So let's watch. Pick it up with me in verse 7. This is God, He's speaking to Abimelech, and He says, now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. And so what did Abimelech do? He got up the next morning and he called all his servants together and told all these things in their hearing. And what was the response of Abimelech's men when they heard that God said, hey, I'm going to destroy all of you guys because you've made this mistake? They were greatly afraid. Can I just point out to you as we pass by this verse here? That ought to be every one of our responses to the very thought of sin in our life. Sin, even the thought of it, it ought to scare you to death. We looked in Sunday school this morning at Psalm 141, and we saw David and his plea for God to help him and protect him from getting involved in things that were wicked. Sin should scare the daylights out of you. And so these guys are afraid. Abimelech called Abraham and said, What have you done? Why did you do this? Abimelech wants to know why Abraham did this. Now, watch Abraham's response. Verse 11. Abraham said, well, because I thought, you know, that there was no fear of God in this place. Abraham says, well, I didn't know you were like this. I thought you were like this. I thought you didn't fear the Lord. I thought you would have killed me. And verse 12, besides, she actually is my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. Here's the fact, Abraham married his half-sister. But he did. And so Abraham is sliding by on a technicality. She actually is my sister, my half-sister. I didn't tell you the half part, but she is. I didn't know that you were like you were. She is basically my sister. Verse 13. And it came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house. Now what's he point out? And God put me in this situation. I didn't know that you were like you were. And she is kind of my sister. And God was the one who put me here. And then watch this. I love this. And so I said to her, this is the kindness which you will show to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother. And I mean, isn't it right for my wife to be kind to me? I was just asking her to be nice to me. What's wrong with that? Here's what Abraham is doing. You guys see this? Abraham is coming up with all sorts of excuses why it was okay for him to lie. Abraham has said, well, I didn't know that you were like you were. If I had known that you were the way you are, I wouldn't have done that. And if she hadn't really been my half-sister, I probably wouldn't have said that, but she really is. I mean, that's a good excuse, right? And if God hadn't called me out of my father's household to this foreign land, I wouldn't have had to lie, so God played a part in this. And besides, I was just asking her to be nice to me. What's wrong with that? We just need to know this about ourselves, and we see this happening in Abraham's life. That our heart is able and willing to come up with all sorts of reasons why sin is not so bad. We naturally do that. Well, you know, I mean, if my boss wasn't the way that he was, I wouldn't have unloaded on him the other day. It's his fault, right? If my wife were different than this, if she weren't this way, then I wouldn't have to say these things to her. It's her fault. Well, you know, if God hadn't put me in this particular situation, then I could have followed him. But God, you put me here, and so what was I supposed to do? Head northwest on Campbell Avenue. That's where you go. That's exactly what you do. Nope. That provided the exact perfect illustration at exactly the right time. And you would fall. I mean, you wouldn't even know you were going in the right direction because the GPS told you to go there, right? I mean, it's... You wouldn't even know you were making a mistake. Here's what's happening. Now we've seen Abimelech and we've seen God deal with sin in his life that he wouldn't even know about, but God was willing to instruct him. Now we're flipping over to Abraham, and there's some sin in his life, right? He lied. He didn't trust the Lord. He felt like he had to protect himself, and so he had to lie about some things. And we watch Abraham coming up with all sorts of excuses why his sin is okay. Even if Abimelech had not feared the Lord, even if he had been right in thinking that Abimelech would have killed him for his wife, even if he would have died for that, what would have been better? To please the Lord and to tell the truth and trust the Lord to protect you? Or to spare yourself and get out of being killed any way that you can? You know what? It's better to trust the Lord. It's better to trust the Lord. Well, I mean, she is my half-sister. I mean, I'm just really kind of bending the truth just a little bit. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Our desire for self-preservation that leads us even into half-truths, that's not trusting the Lord. That's not trusting the Lord. That's crafting the situation such that I'm trying to take up for myself. I'm trying to protect myself rather than seeking the Lord, following the Lord, and letting Him bring about the results. Well, God brought me to this particular place. What else was I supposed to do? Let's camp here for just a second. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Drop down to verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it gives birth to death. Here's his point. James's point, that is. James is talking about circumstances, various trials and temptations in our life. And we would say, well, if God hadn't let that thing or that person come right in front of me, then I wouldn't have had to respond the way that I did. See, God is in control of my circumstances, and God allowed that temptation to come, and so it's really His fault. Why did God allow that temptation to come? You know what? Here's the point. Did God allow the temptation to come? Sure He did. Is God in control over our circumstances? Sure He did. God knew that your coworker was going to come in with a chip on his shoulder that day. And God allowed him to speak those unkind words to you, but it is not God's fault how you responded to that. You see, the circumstances, whatever they may be, the circumstances don't cause us to sin. You know what causes us to sin? It's our own heart. The reason I respond to circumstances the way that I do is not God's fault. The reason I respond to the circumstances the way that I do is my fault. It's my heart. And I need to recognize that within my heart is sin. And so it's not God's fault for placing the circumstances in front of me the way that they are. No, I need to recognize my own sin, regardless of what the circumstances, regardless of how my boss treats me, regardless of my neighbor's dog that keeps barking at 2 in the morning. Regardless. No, this is sin. Here's the point that we see in Abraham's life, and we saw this in Abimelech's life in a slightly different angle. There is no excuse for sin. There is no excuse for sin. There's no rationalizing it away. There's no excuse for it. There's no making light of it. A half-truth is an untruth. There is no excuse for sin. Back to Genesis chapter 20. Now, God has protected Abimelech from sin. God, the Holy Spirit, through His Word, has pointed out the foolishness of Abraham and his sin and the foolish excuses that he's now offered because of sin. Now watch what happens. This blows my socks off. Abimelech then took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham and restored his wife Sarah to him. And Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is yours before you. Settle wherever you please." What? I cannot believe Abimelech did that. You realize what just happened here? Abraham just lied to him. Because of Abraham's sin, it almost cost Abimelech his life, and Abimelech didn't even know it. Abraham lied to him in such a way that Abimelech almost died. And then when he's confronted with his own sin, he makes all these excuses and rationalizations, and the end result is Abimelech saying, "Hey, take all my sheep, take all my oxen, and wherever you want to live. You want to live right next door to me? You go ahead right now. You live wherever you want to live." Why would Abimelech do that? Why in the world can Abraham come out of such foolishness and come out of it being blessed? It gets even better. Look at verse 16. To Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver." 1,000 pieces of silver. "Behold, it is your vindication before all who are with you, and before all men you are cleared." And Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maids, so they bore children. For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the household of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And the Lord took note of Sarah. And he said, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. And so Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called his son Isaac. What is going on here? If anybody comes out of this story as man, the good guy, or somebody that's worthy of our respect, it's Abimelech. At least Abimelech was right in the intents of his heart, right? But not crazy Abraham. Abraham was a fool here. Abraham lied, made up all these lame excuses about why he had to lie and blamed everybody else but himself. But the end result was that Abraham comes away with oxen and sheep and land and 1,000 pieces of silver and a son way outside of normal age range. How is that even possible? Here's what's happening here. And I want you to notice what the Scripture specifically points out. Look at verse 21. Why was it that God gave them this son? Was it because Abraham and Sarah were stellar characters? No, it wasn't. It was because God had said. It was because God had promised. In verse 2, because God had spoken it to him. What we see going on here, and we need to take very close notice of this. The reason God blessed Abraham, and the reason God gave them that son, it is not because Abraham and Sarah were great. Let me say that again. The reason that God blessed Abraham and gave them a miraculous child was not because Abraham and Sarah was great. God blessed them and God gave them that son because He is great. God blessed them and gave them that son because God was fulfilling His promise to Abraham and Sarah. God doesn't work in people's lives. God doesn't bless us. God doesn't bring His plans to fruition in our lives. God doesn't use us. God doesn't use and bless His people because we are great. God uses and blesses His people because He is great. You know what that's called? Jill and Taylor just sang about this. It's called grace. How can it be that God would be faithful to a fool like Abraham? Why would God continue to bless a fool like Abraham? Because God is gracious. And God had picked Abraham out. And God had made promises to Abraham that Abraham did not deserve. And Abraham, even Abraham's faith, did Abraham have faith when he went and stood in front of Abimelech? No. Abraham didn't trust the Lord there. Abraham took the situation in his own hands and lied about it to protect himself. Even Abraham's faith, it was not anywhere near perfect faith. But God was faithful to Himself. Listen, here's what that means. And we need to be clear about this. That any good that comes out of my life, any blessing that God brings into my life, it is not because I am great or you are great. It is only because God is great, and God is gracious, and He is merciful to me. Why is it that we will get to spend all of eternity in an incredible place like heaven with the Lord, the God of the universe? Why is that? Is that because I'm so great and I've done good things? No. It's because God is gracious, and despite who I am, God saves me. That's why. Why is it that He's invited me to be a part of His plan? Why is it that He calls us His children? Why is it that He guides and instructs and teaches? Is it because I'm so great? Is it because my faith is so strong? Is it because I'm so perfect? No. It is because He is so great, and He is so faithful, and He is, and His promises are so sure. It's all because of Him. It's not us. We need to know that. That ought to make us love Him more, y'all. What He does ought to make us love Him more. Abraham should have walked away from this and said, "Oh God, I can't believe You've done this for me. God, I can't even believe that You would do this. God, thank you. That's where our heart ought to go. When we see the Lord do things in our life, we see Him instruct and protect and bless. And I look at my wife and my children sitting around the breakfast table this morning, and my heart is, "Oh God, I can't even believe that You've given me this family. God, thank You. I can't even believe it. God, how can it be that You would do this?" Let me point one last thing out to you about this passage. We see God's grace clearly demonstrated in Abraham's life. Now let me tell you a danger that our heart would do with that grace. Because our heart, because we have sinful hearts, our heart would look at that and would see God blessing Abraham and God fulfilling His promises to Abraham, even though Abraham did wrong. And our heart would say, "Well, it must not be so bad to do wrong. You know, I mean, even if as many times as I mess up, God will still be good to me. God will still be gracious to me. And so it's, you know what, it's okay. I mean, you know, everybody sins this side of heaven, right? So it's okay." Now let me ask you, God is so wise. In Genesis chapter 20, even though we see God's grace in spite of sin, does Genesis chapter 20 give us any excuses for sin? No. Think about the wisdom of God in crafting together this one chapter, this one scene, where he demonstrates his grace in Abraham's life. Even when he demonstrates his grace in Abraham's life, we see his anger on sin with Abimelech. That there is grace, but even with grace, there is no excuse for sin. Even with grace, we ought to hate and fear sin. Do you guys see that? And so while we praise God for his grace, that is never an excuse to make light of sin. Never. We saw in Psalm 141 this morning, David prayed, "Oh God, change the intentions of my heart. I don't even want to want sin." There's no excuse. And this chapter is so wise. We get to see our need for God to instruct us and protect us of sin. We get to see the foolishness of making excuses for sin. But we also get to see God's grace in action and his faithfulness to his people, even in spite of themselves. Man, what great truth to be given together. That's how God works in our life. God wants us to know sin, no good. But God is faithful. And anything that he brings into my life, it's not because I'm great, it's because he's great. And that ought to draw our hearts to love the Lord. Father, God, I praise you for your faithfulness to your people. God, I praise you for your grace in the lives of those who are yours. God, I praise you for your grace even in my life. God, you know. God, I'm thankful for the way that you have taught and protected and blessed and used and guided. And God, I know, Father, it is not because I am great, Father, because I am not, but God, you are. God, I praise you for that. God, I thank you for your grace in offering your son Jesus that I might know you like this at all. And I pray that if there is anyone here who doesn't know you, has not trusted your son, does not have the right to be called your child, I pray that they would today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And as I just prayed, if...